The Sugar Fix is out.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Kids in this country will have to get their sugary soda pop somewhere else because they won't find it at school anymore. Coke, Pepsi, and other beverage companies have agreed to new rules on what they can sell in America's public schools. In high schools, only diet sodas, flavored water, sports drinks, and unsweetened teas. Elementary and middle schools will stick to water, juices, and low-fat milk. The deal is a joint initiative of the Clinton Foundation and the American Heart Association. I guess kids can mosey on down to someplace like Burger King if they want non-diet drinks. You might remember BK is going public, one of the last major fast food chains to do so. Yesterday, it announced how much investors will have to pay for a piece of the action. Here's Tess Vigeland.
If Burger King's owners have it their way, investors will pay up to $17 a share for a piece of the fast food chain. Restaurant industry analyst Dennis Lombardi says the 52-year-old institution is ready for its solo debut on the stock market menu.
There is a good argument that the company is in the process of turning around the chain and its store performance for the better. It is a strong brand with a very strong signature product in the Whopper.
So why has it taken more than half a decade for BK to become a public company? Well, it was one as part of the Diageo brand family, but three private equity companies bought it in 2002 and are now taking it public on its own. The stock sale would encompass about 19% of Burger King's overall shares and boost the company's value to $2.25 billion. That still leaves it far behind the world's biggest burger joint, McDonald's, at $43.2 billion. I'm Tess Vigeland for Marketplace.
We've all heard that the housing market is hitting the skids, and mortgage giant AmeriQuest isn't waiting around for it to happen. Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
The country's largest subprime mortgage lender is closing all of its branch offices and axing a third of its workforce. AmeriQuest deals with riskier loans, so it could be hit especially hard as the market slows and housing values start to slide, says UCLA economist Christopher Thornburg.
The writing's on the wall. The market is starting to cool. And over the next couple of years, a lot of these mortgage companies are really going to find themselves pinched.
Still, Thornburg expects most mortgage companies will hold off for a while before downsizing. He says the market's still hot, and it remains to be seen whether the housing sector will crash or simply decline. Thornburg says AmeriQuest's cutbacks could also have something to do with a $325 million settlement it owes to several states for deceptive lending practices. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
A tip of the cap now to one of the pioneers of business news reporting on the public airwaves. Louis Rukeyser died yesterday at the age of 73. Rukeyser was host of public television's Wall Street Week. The show debuted on PBS in 1970 and ran for more than three decades. Rukeyser moved to CNBC in 2002, but only worked there for about a year and a half. The Dow is above 11,400 for the first time since early 2000. Yesterday, it climbed 73 points to 11,416. The Nasdaq finished up 5 to 2309. The S&P 500 gained 8 points to 1313. Oil prices, oh, oil prices. They're almost $75 a barrel today. This is Marketplace. Here in Los Angeles, we haven't had a pro football team in 14 years. Yesterday, Governor Schwarzenegger spent part of his day trying to convince the NFL to bring a franchise back. Cheryl Glazer looks at the odds.
It's been 18 years since the Los Angeles area had a pro football team. You'd think the country's second largest TV market would be a natural for the NFL. But it's been passed over in favor of places like Jacksonville and Charlotte. David Carter has consulted on previous efforts to bring pro ball back to L.A. He says a new collective bargaining agreement in the NFL could help pave the way.
They now have long-term labor peace, they know what their revenue sharing agreements are going to look like, and they have a commissioner who has stated as one of his priorities before he retires that a franchise be committed to the Southern California region.
But it still might be a tough sell. Building or renovating a stadium could cost up to $800 million, and local officials want the NFL to pick up the tab. I'm Cheryl Glazer for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By the American Public Transportation Association, committed to making America energy independent through increased use of public transportation. On the web at publictransportation.org. and by Medtronic, offering information about abdominal aortic aneurysms, an often overlooked condition that kills approximately 15,000 Americans each year. Medtronic.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Today, President Bush unveils how the government would respond in the event of a bird flu pandemic and how businesses should prepare. For example, the worst-case scenario assumes 40% of the workforce would be absent at some point. Anne Beauchesne at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce says that's a planning challenge for you.
We've heard it described several times as a sort of a global blizzard that will last for 12 months. And again, that's the planning challenge. You know, it's not going to just be, you know, a couple of days.
While avian flu is still a big if here, other parts of the world have already been battling outbreaks in their bird populations. In Africa, chickens are not only food, but an insurance policy against hard times. Reporter Suzanne Marmion lives in Malawi, where she keeps some chickens of her own.
My favorite hen is named Cordon Bleu. She actually is blue, a blue-gray soft swirl of feathers, like the San Francisco fog. A sentimental way to describe a hen, but Cordon Bleu is one of my wedding chickens. I married in the long way last year. In Malawi, it's traditional for a groom's family to give his wife chickens.
This is something that is part of our culture.
Alec Nkoma is the deputy head of the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization in Malawi. He says long after the wedding, Africa's chicken-giving tradition continues.
Even today, if I go to visit my mother-in-law, whatever meal they prepare will not be complete unless they slaughter a chicken for me. Maybe even two, if I'm there for 3 days.
But beyond the cultural value of a chicken, it's also an economic safety net. In Malawi and many other African nations, hundreds of thousands of people live on less than a dollar a day, and one chicken can be worth at least 3 days' pay, especially for the many rural Africans.
Their keeping of the chicken is can I call it a bank, can I call it social security, whereby anytime you have got a problem, you can easily either kill the chicken or sell it off. So it's very important.
Important because of chronic hunger problems in Africa, and for the many who depend on better nutrition because they have HIV/AIDS. Africa's already reeling from that and other pandemics. It's ill-equipped to handle another one. Ibrahim Gesherch Ahmed monitors bird flu for Nigeria's government.
It's worrisome. It is.
But he points out Nigeria was able to wipe out the flu by culling tens of thousands of chickens. In the process, though, Nigeria sacrificed its budding chicken export industry and cost its economy $300 million. The country was criticized for compensating people too little for culling birds. Instead, some Nigerians sold their sick animals to neighboring Niger and spread the flu there. Still, many countries on the continent have no compensation plans in place at all, despite the high value most Africans place on their chickens. In the long way, Malawi, I'm Suzanne Marmion for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
Microsoft's big.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.